Warning, this show contains strong language and scenes of a queer nature.
Yes!
Hey, I'm Josh, and welcome to the second episode of the Art of Being Queer podcast. Here's a snippet of what's to come.
I don't believe in the Western God, but it took me like 23 years to finally data dump all that information that my parents like pounded into my brain when I was a child. I basically came out as a lesbian when I was 13, but my father was a pastor and we lived in Tennessee, which is a very religious area. Even now, being trans, like, I don't have a relationship with my parents due to their religious beliefs. I woke up and I just had the idea for the image, and it was basically me just like trying to rip my breasts off because I haven't had top surgery yet, and I have a self-portrait series called Dysphoric Diary. It's so unfortunate that all of these qualified actors, actresses, models that are trans and queer are not getting these jobs simply because of that. Visibility is the only way that these people are going to understand that.
So now let's jump straight into it and meet our guest of the episode, Camden Adore. Hey Camden, would you like to give an introduction?
My name is Camden Adore. I am 27 years old, and I'm originally from Massachusetts, but I currently now live in New York City. I identify as female to male trans and queer, and I'm a visual artist, but primarily like a photographer.
So you were one of the early features that we had on The Art of Being Queer. So some people might have already seen your work, but do you want to talk me through the first ever queer art piece that you created?
Huh, that's really interesting that you have that question. You know, I started doing photography like a couple years ago, and there were a few mentors that I had that were kind of like pushing me to go in that direction. And at that time I was like, screw you, like, I'm not just gonna use like my identity to go in that direction, and how dare you insinuate that kind of thing. Like, I never said that to them, but I felt that way. And I felt that way for like about a year. And then I swear to God, one morning I woke up and I had this idea for an image. And it's a big part of my, I actually didn't send you any examples of this, but I have a self-portrait series called Dysphoric Diary. And what it does is it tries to visually depict some of the, you know, things that trans men go through physically in their transition and everything like that, and how that gives us dysphoria and stuff like that. And right now it's only been me. Maybe I'll open it up to other people. And I wish I will send you that image later that we're talking about right now, so that you can understand. But I woke up and I just had the idea for the image, and it was basically me just like trying to rip my breasts off because I haven't had top surgery yet. And it's like, you know, this thing that trans men feel very insecure about. And for some reason I made that image when I woke up and like shared it, and the response was like amazing. And that's when I knew like I shouldn't be trying to hide that part of my identity in my work. It's like a crucial part of it, actually.
You can really see that it's a crucial part of all the work that you sent across. And we'll include the image that we've just spoken about in the blog. But now, do you want to talk us through the next image, which will be number two in the blog?
Yeah. So once I really started getting the ball rolling on this, I just started connecting with people on Instagram, or trying to. So this particular person I found on Instagram, they use they, them pronouns. And I mean, a big part of this body of work is not just like the fact that it's LGBTQ portraiture, but visually explaining LGBTQ identities as a form of education, you know, because this top image, they use they, them pronouns, you know, and this is kind of a way to help explain to people. I think understanding creates unity, you know, and I think people learning about these identities is the first step to, you know, equality and understanding and everything like that.
So you've just been talking a little bit about representation. What do you think about the current representation in the mainstream media?
And the way that I look at it is just another way to phrase it, which is visibility, which is basically essentially what I'm wanting to do, because there are areas in the world and in the United States where I'm from, where people never encounter these identities solely based on maybe the high percentage of religious affiliation in that area or whatever the case may be. And visibility is the only way that these people are going to understand that. And that's through media and stuff, because it doesn't exist in their world, you know. And not only that, you know, in terms of, you know, acting and everything like that, it's so unfortunate that all of these qualified actors, actresses, models that are trans and queer are not getting these jobs simply because of that, you know. And I think that's extremely frustrating as well. I mean, Laverne Cox is honestly like a hero to me. I know it sounds kind of cheesy, but her poise, her beauty is something that I respect and want to like emanate, you know, and I hope that I can reach people with my work and that eventually I can use that platform to be like her, honestly. So it's just beautiful to be able to see who we do have, and I'm grateful that who we do have is representing our community positively, because that is just so crucial as well, you know.
Not only is it great for us to see these identities represented in the media, I think that it's really important for people who are still coming to terms with understanding their own identity.
Yeah, I agree completely, you know. And that's a huge part of it for me too. When I was trying to figure out if I was trans or queer or whatever, I really wasn't sure. I was watching YouTube videos of trans men documenting their transition. And that's what kind of helped me get to that, you know, final thought of, okay, that's me. I definitely am, you know. So there are just like so many beneficiary reasons for things like this to go on. And like you said, it has been getting better, but we definitely need to continue pushing.
So do you think that things like social media have had an impact on the queer community?
I actually think that that has almost given us a little more bravery. And let me explain. Like, I found my identity by meeting other people online who had a similar identity with me. And it's almost like a queer community was built like in the confines of the digital age. And once we all kind of found each other, it was like, okay, we are more than what we thought we were, you know, internally and by numbers. So let us, you know, fight for ourselves truly, you know. And I think it really has shown like how many more LGBTQ plus people there are in this world, you know. And it has almost been like a safe haven for people, and maybe like their only place where they can actually be who they are at that current moment in their life, you know. Because if they're living at home with their parents who are very religious or something like that, that's the only place that they're able to be their true identity at that current moment, you know. And I think that it's built a sense of community.
So you've mentioned religion a couple of times since we've been speaking, and it is a theme that I've noticed throughout the submissions that I've been receiving. Why do you think that religion's so prevalent in queer art?
Because religion tries to shape identity on the basis of something. And when you know what you are so intrinsically, that causes there to be, you know, a fight. Like, I'll use some examples for this project that I'm doing. I'm sending out a questionnaire just with a few questions. And one of them is, you know, have you ever struggled with your gender or sexual identity on the basis of religion? Because when you grow up in a religious, you know, household, that's really all you know. And you don't understand that that's all you know until you try to know something else. Like, when I would explore other religions or try to find out other things, Christianity, although I didn't want to accept it as truth, was still so deeply ingrained in my brain because of my upbringing. And because of that, and because of you know, the ideals of homosexuality being an abomination, being so closely tied with that, and then knowing that you're gay, it's almost like there's going to be a conflict internally, you know? And so people deal with it differently. Like some people have said, although the church tells me that I'm going to hell, I know that my God loves me. Still talking about the Christian God. And some people say, like, you know, I don't find myself to be religious anymore, but I'm a spiritual person, you know? And I kind of take that front, you know? I don't believe in the Western God, but it took me like 23 years to finally data dump all that information that my parents like pounded into my brain when I was a child. So I think that's why it's such a big thing, because it's such a huge conflict for an LGBTQ identified person to deal with, you know?
I guess it's a representation of the artist's struggle with religion. Do you think that where you grew up had any impact on your art?
It's really interesting that you would say that, because it almost exactly does, but not in the way that you would think it would. I grew up in Massachusetts for a while, but when I was 13, I moved to Tennessee, and I lived there until I was 18 and I moved away. I basically came out as a lesbian when I was 13, but my father was a pastor and we lived in Tennessee, which is a very religious area. So that was always a struggle. And even now, being trans, like, I don't have a relationship with my parents due to their religious beliefs. So all of that in combination with living in New York City and finally being able to be my 100% authentic self made me realize how constraining it was to live there and not have these identities, like I've mentioned like multiple times in the conversation. And so I'm actually working on a grant proposal for a project this summer, which revolves around the intersection between religion and LGBTQ identity, and wanting to like visually document that and try and like use that again as a form of education. But it's just funny because through my understanding of my own identity, which was molded from where I grew up, I now want to pursue this project, which right now I'm kind of keeping it in the US, but I eventually want to pursue it in other countries where, you know, the Christianity is the prevalent religion. So this will definitely be like a large canon to my work for the rest of my career, you know.
Do you want to talk us through the next image that's in the blog now?
Yeah. So I had went to a couple's house. They were a bisexual couple and they're so cute. One of them was 19, one of them was 20. And so I spent a couple hours there just looking at what they have, moving through the rooms and kind of just trying to make images in that way. And I think most of the ones that I've sent to you have been there, except for a few. And, you know, with my work being so queer and identity driven, I'm always looking for those innuendos, I guess, and stuff like that. And this was just her record player. And I thought it was just funny because eventually I want to create a book with all of these images, but you know, that's the end goal. And I think that these images with these totems of identity are just as important as the images of the people's faces and stuff like that. So
you've really managed to capture the people's identities in these photographs. I love this next image as well. It's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's one of my favorite portraits that I've ever made, honestly. This is another gender non-conforming person. And they actually recently just had a child with their partner. So, I mean, they're just an amazing person. They are a singer, guitarist, and like actor as well. So, you know, they're trying to be visible for our community as well. And I think that was a big part of this shoot. You know, I never ask anybody to do anything that could make them feel uncomfortable. I'm always just letting them know it's whatever they're comfortable with, you know? But I think towards the end of the shoot, we had really built a rapport with each other and they felt comfortable enough and we were able to do some of these. And I don't even know how to really explain the image, truly. You know, I had gone over and they turned over like that. I didn't even really see that image until the review process. And I was just like, oh, yes.
It's always great when you're looking back through your images and you find that one magic one. The next image is absolutely stunning as well. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
Thank you. Yeah, this is my friend Nick. We used to live in the same building, so super convenient. And I just walked downstairs. but again, you know, I just want to use the surroundings. And he had this really cool gridded mirror. And he's actually a chef. So I wanted to get something, you know, with the kitchen in there, whatever. Oh, and Nick, I don't know if it really matters, but, you know, I try to get a variety of identities here. I'm still working on that. And I still want to get more people of color as well, you know, integrated into this. But he's gay. The next one down, he's bisexual. And, you know, one of the biggest things, part of my process is whether it be meeting beforehand for coffee or sitting down and talking for like 15 minutes before the shoot begins. Like, I always do that with the person, you know, just to kind of get a feel for them too, because I want to make my work, but part of that is capturing them. And also, like, I've learned so much just from talking to these people and like understanding, you know, the wide variety of identity and whatnot. And he's bisexual, and he was just telling me how, you know, bi visibility is so important, going back to that visibility thing, and just telling me about his struggles of being bisexual, because all these, even within the LGBT community, because gay men are like, oh, well, that's just a stepping stone to being gay. I was there once before too, you know. And for some people, it is like that, you know, but for him, it's not. And, you know, straight people are like, well, I hope you can pick a side. And he's just like, no, you don't get it, you know. And I never thought about it like that, you know. So that was even like a lesson to me to like understand that identity and some of the things that they deal with, you know.
Yeah, that's been my experience doing this project too. Hearing people's experiences has made me aware of things that I wouldn't have even thought about. I've also been shocked at how open and willing people have been during the interviews.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, just thinking of all the people who are so willing, it's because, you know, we all want that platform just as much, you know, and I'm so grateful to you and everyone else on your team, or maybe it's just you, I don't know. But, for, you know, doing this, and let me know if I can help in the future moving forward as well.
Oh, thank you. And thanks for coming on and being interviewed today. Do you want to tell us about the next piece?
Yes. I have mine pulled up too, so I can follow along here. So here in New York City, we have the world's first gender-free store. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Fluid Project. I'm actually going to send you a link to that because I'm sure that they would be very interested in your project. And they're about a year or two old, so they're still very connected, like with the community and stuff like that. They actually helped me out. I made a post on Instagram saying I was looking for LGBTQ, and I tagged them and they shared it on their story. So that's how I met this individual. And we went out and we had coffee, and they are like an actor, performing artist, activist, kind of. And when I looked at their Instagram, I just really loved their style. I thought it was a good embodiment of like queer style, if you will, kind of genderless, and also very like just fashion, honey, you know? So like, I knew that they would be good in the studio. So when we met, I was like, I think we could do the studio. And they were like talking about how they had been doing some kind of other work with this fabric that you see. And so we kind of collaborated on this idea, and there are so many more images. I'm actually going to send you a different one. The only thing I hate about it is it's portrait, and Instagram just ruins portrait photos. I knew that those colors would complement their skin tone, and so that's why I chose them and really played around with some fun studio lighting, which I've been getting really interested in as well. So,
well, it turned out really well. Do you want to talk us through the last image now?
Yeah, this is just a queer couple. The one on the top with the little beret, he was a barista at this coffee shop I used to go to like every day. And I just finally asked them, can we do a shoot? And, you know, they just loved each other so much. They were in a relationship and they were such good subjects. I really didn't have to direct or anything. They just kind of, you know, were super fierce and cute and had a great time with that as well.
So sadly, that takes us to the end of another episode of the Art of Being Queer podcast. I want to thank Camden for being a great guest today. I want to thank our Patreons, Demo Demi and Alpha Wings. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head over to patreon.com/theartofbeingqueer. A final thank you to Queen Toast for creating the tracks used in this podcast, and thank you for listening. See you next time.